In the name of Jesus, amen. When our Lord Jesus handed out paper on which to write the Gospels, he gave St. Mark the least amount of paper. Merely enough paper to write only 16 chapters. And so when Mark writes, paper challenged as he was, he felt the need to cut to the chase and tell us the life of Christ with the fewest possible words. But just because Mark takes a lot of literary shortcuts doesn't mean he has little to say. Into those few words, he packs a punch. And what he needs you to do is to read between the lines and do some thinking. And make you think is what happens in today's gospel. Mark tells of Jesus' baptism using only 3 verses, 9, 10, and 11. 3 short verses. Couldn't be all that important then, right? Well, if that's what you're thinking, you're wrong. 3 short verses, yes, but he sticks those 3 verses right at the beginning of his gospel, right up front, because they are so very important. And his words are packed with meaning. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee. Simple words, but full of meaning. In those days, Jesus came. He didn't just happen across John baptizing in the wilderness. He didn't just stumble across his cousin or find himself in the vicinity and just decide to drop in. Jesus showed up at the Jordan deliberately. Intentionally, he crossed paths with John for a reason. He intentionally came in order to begin his work of salvation. Not his salvation, but yours and mine. Jesus came to begin his work of delivering every poor sinner this globe has ever known, deliver them from the slavery sin puts every poor person into. He came to cleanse from impurity the life of every person who has ever made themselves unclean in this life by filthy desire, nasty word, or dastardly deed. Impurities oogled over by the eye. Crudeness that tickles the ear. Impropriety that delights the heart. He came to liberate those heading nowhere in this life, finally, but to the cemetery or crematorium or wherever else the dead go. He came to make holy people whose lives have become grubby and grimy, mucky and foul. He didn't have to. The Father didn't force him to. He wanted to. Jesus came to be baptized willingly, purposely, intentionally. And the whole while, you were on Jesus' mind, and so Jesus came. And he was baptized by John in the Jordan. Mark makes this sound like Jesus was baptized like everybody else was baptized. In fact, Mark doesn't even include the objections that John raised, like Matthew raises those objections. But it wasn't the same. Everyone else, Mark tells us, was baptized by John as they were confessing their sins. But not Jesus. The sinless Son of God didn't have any sin to confess. In fact, he should have been repulsed by this water. Talk about a cesspool, this Jordan River. Now, quite honestly, I don't know what contaminants were in those waters, what the bacteria count was, or how many parts per million or billion of whatever it is that is gross fouled those waters. But worse than all of that was the fact that this water was filled with every sin imaginable. Sins washed off a world full of sinners, and not just sinners who had bathed in the Jordan that day, but those who have bathed in the waters of baptism any day. You name the sin, Jesus is hip deep in it, wading in it, now up to his neck in it, head to toe, in his ears, and up his nose. Total impurity. Rancid contamination. Idolatry, cussing, and swearing and taking God's holy name in vain. And if you don't, partaking in the delight of comics who do. Floating in those waters. Dishonor and adultery. Sexual immorality and pornography. Murder, slander, theft, and hatred in those waters. Prejudice, lying, selfishness, and greed in those waters. Coveting, cheating, pride, and lust in those waters. Jesus came and dives right into that putrid, toxic water. Jesus came and let it be poured all over him. All the filth, all the sin, yours and mine. He partakes in it. He partakes in it. Disgusting. And what would you say if your son were up to his neck in San Juan Creek runoff after a bad rainstorm? Get out of that disgusting water. Don't get it in your mouth. You'll get diphtheria or something. It's a line out of Captain Ron. But his father's not disgusted. He's delighted. And so is the Holy Spirit. The Father and the Spirit delighted that the second person of the Holy Trinity receives John's baptism, a baptism for sinners. They're elated that he's drenched in this sin-sick water. And so the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus. And the Father speaks his approval. You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. It's the Father's good pleasure. It's God's good will that Jesus stands with us sinners. It's the Father's delight that Jesus is washed in our sin, absorbs our sin, and becomes for us and for our salvation the chief of sinners in our place. And when Jesus came up out of the water, immediately he saw heaven opening. He saw heaven being torn open, is what the Greek says. Torn open just like the curtain in the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. A rather unusual way to talk about heaven, but literally that's what it says. And with those two sentences on purpose, Mark ties the beginning of his gospel together with the end of his gospel. No literary accident. Mark connects Jesus' baptism with his crucifixion. And so does our baptismal liturgy. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and above your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. St. Mark wants you to read between the lines. He wants you to figure out that with Jesus taking your sin upon himself in his baptism, he's carrying your sin to his cross. And with Jesus doing that, the division that separates God from man, the dividing wall that closes off heaven to you, is now torn down. With your sin on Jesus, with his death for you, heaven is open to you again, and it will never close. With your sins forgiven, with you declared right now with God. It's pure and unpolluted creation all over again. Heaven and earth remade. It's a new creation by water and the Word. In other words, it's the Garden of Eden all over again for you. No wonder the Father's pleased. No wonder the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus like a dove. In Jesus, the whole wide world is being recreated. Behold, I am making all things new, Jesus said in Revelation. In the beginning, the Holy Spirit hovered over the water. And here in Mark, the Holy Spirit hovers again over the water. No coincidence. Just like in the beginning, the Word of God spoke and brought life and light to existence, so now the same Word of God, now in flesh and blood, brings life and light to you. In Jesus, a new beginning, a fresh start, another Genesis. The only ecological movement that will ever really matter in the long run. In Jesus, everything is good again. Good. Because he's absorbed all that is broken and evil and sinful and polluted in this world. And if you think about it, all that is broken and evil and sinful and polluted in your life, he's taken it all away, all the sin of all the world, and he hangs it here. And he buries it in a tomb where the Father chooses never to look. And all this God now gives to you. Just stop and think about that. That's exactly what John said right before he baptized Jesus. Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Don't let Mark's few words trick you. Mark's words tell you that just as Jesus came to the Jordan to be baptized, so he comes here. And to every place where Jesus' word is combined with water, he comes deliberately, intentionally, to baptize you, to remake you. The hand might be Pastor Rohde's or mine or any other unworthy pastor's hand. But it's your Savior who baptizes you. He's still the one in the water saving sin-sick sinners. And now, the Father's not ashamed of you. All that in the Father's eyes polluted you, all that Christ has washed away. And he's given you the Holy Spirit as well. Peter said so much when he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." On the day of your baptism, heaven was torn open for you, and he will never close it off to you. And as with your Savior before you, the Father looks upon you, and he sees not a contaminated sinner, but a forgiven, resurrected, recreated, dearly loved son or daughter with whom he is well pleased. Thanks be to God in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the